Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1305, we feature two stories by new Life Rattle writer Jessica Zurawicki. Jessica Zurawicki was born in 1991 in Mississauga and raised with her sister in Toronto. While in university, Jessica developed a passion for business and is now completing her Master's of Industrial Relations and Human Resources. Outside of her professional life, Jessica enjoys art, music, and dance. She has danced in musicals and catches almost every musical that comes to Toronto. Jessica Zurawicki lives in Toronto, a city she loves for its multiculturalism and the availability of foods from many cultures: Korean, Ethiopian, Italian, Thai, and her favorite, Japanese, sushi. Jessica Zurawicki writes fresh, bright prose from the perspective of a young woman struggling in the face of university responsibilities and a new relationship. In our first story tonight, we go to a university sex pub and experience that awkward self-consciousness and the doubts we all face when we put ourselves out there to make a connection with a potential romantic partner. Let's listen now to A Blind Duck, written and read by Jessica Zurawicki.
A Blind Duck by Jessica Zurawicki. Beep, beep, beep. I slide my finger across my iPhone and type the password to kill the alarm. 7 a.m. I roll over. Matt lies next to me, still asleep, in a t-shirt and blue boxers. I know I should get dressed for school, but my body compels me to lie next to his for just a few more minutes. Good morning, I whisper. His eyelashes flutter. Good morning, he croaks. He reaches across and pulls me in until our noses almost touch. I pray he can't smell my rancid morning breath. We met the night before at our university's sex pub, a fundraiser organized by the Campus Sexual Education Center. More of a competition to see who can wear the least amount of clothes and the most amount of glitter than an educational experience. I didn't want to go, but somehow my dance friends convinced me to join them. Wearing booty shorts and an oversized white dress shirt, I walk to the Blind Duck pub with Katie. We stand in line for almost an hour before we get in. Inside, students drink, girls dance, and we take tequila shots. Sarah joins us. Behind her trails a guy with cheek dimples, muscular arms, and a killer smile. He wears a pale turquoise tight tank and blue skinny jeans. Hey, Sarah says, giving me a hug. This is Matt. Matt stretches out his hand for a shake. I give a quick wave. I'm Jess. He smiles, revealing perfect teeth. We chat about school, drink rum and coke, my favorite, and share stories of our pasts. How is it we've never met before? Matt asks. I don't know, especially since our campus is so small and we are from the same circle. I pause, realizing we are alone. My friends have taken off into the crowds of students. Don't hate me, but what was your name again? You don't remember my name? His jaw drops and he puts his hand to his mouth. How will I ever go on? Maybe I could make it up to you? I place my hands on either side of his face and pull him in. Our lips meet with a soft kiss. I draw back, our faces barely an inch apart. Matt, he says. Matt, I repeat, beaming. We dance, talk, drink, and stay until last call. I grab his hand and pull him out the door. I have to get back to my friend's place. Walk me there? He nods. We chat about music and movies as we walk, our hands locked together. I pound on the door of Katie's townhouse, but no answer. I call Katie's cell 3 times, and finally she picks up, saying the door is unlocked. Matt opens the door and follows me up the steps to the second floor. I open the door to Katie's room. A man stands in the middle of her room, naked. I shield my eyes and shudder. Katie giggles, and Matt, a few steps behind me, says, "You can stay at my place." A late-night visit to Tremendous for dumplings and spring rolls, and 4 hours of sleep later, I lie beside him, my head nestled on his chest. This isn't like me. I've never stayed over at a guy's house that I didn't know, especially not on a school night. I have class in an hour, and I know the panic will soon set in. I'm going to be late. "I should get ready," I say. "Yeah, me too, I guess. Want a ride to class?" Sure. "We can stop at Tim Hortons on the way and get some breakfast." I nod, slip out from under the covers, and tiptoe over to my bag. I take off the shirt I borrowed from Matt and replace it with my University of Toronto tee. Matt dresses on the other side of the room. He pulls sweats over his boxers, puts on a clean shirt, and flattens his hair, looking in the mirror. I take a quick glance his way before pulling up my jeans. "Good morning. Matt, what's going on?" Matt's mother stands at his bedroom door. She glances at me. Our eyes lock. Frozen. "Mom, we're getting ready for class," Matt says. I look down and hurriedly pull my jeans over my bum. My cheeks flush with each passing moment. She quickly closes the door. I finish getting dressed, put on my makeup, and brush my teeth before making my way downstairs, praying that I won't have to face his mom. Matt sits at the kitchen table, sipping from a coffee mug. "Hi, Jessica. Coffee or tea?" Matt's mom asks. "Hi, no, thank you. I should get going to class." Tim Hortons is only a couple of minutes away. The car engine hums and light jazz pours from the speakers. Matt drives and I sit in the passenger seat, silently gazing out the window. He turns onto Aaron Mills Parkway. We pull into the drive-thru. "Good morning. Would you like to try our new breakfast sandwich?" the Tim Hortons lady asks through the speakerphone. Finally, some human interaction. "One whole grain bagel with light cream cheese." Matt turns to me. "What do you want?" "Everything bagel with herb and garlic cream cheese." He places the order and we drive up to the window. I reach into my backpack, get my wallet, and pull out a five. "It's on me," he says. "No way. You paid for the Chinese last night." "Doesn't matter." Matt pays for breakfast, and we chomp on our cream cheese bagels as he drives us to the university. I'm afraid this is the last time I'll see him. He pulls into the underground parking lot. "Can I walk you to class?" he asks. I nod. We walk beside each other, just far enough away so our hands don't brush. I want to apologize for getting him in trouble, and I want to explain that it isn't like me to stay at a guy's house. I want to hear that last night won't be the last time we hang out, but I can't find the words. We reach the main lecture hall. I turn to him. "Thanks for walking me to class." "Have fun." I wave goodbye, hurry into class, and take one of the last seats in the front row. I try to focus on finance, on time value of money, on numbers. But my mind wanders. I reflect on the night before. Matt was such a gentleman, caring and respectful. He asked nothing from me, and when he got nothing, he hadn't seemed disappointed, but happy. He listened when I talked about school, my family, even my dream first date at Laser Quest. I try to shake these thoughts from my head. Matt will only be a memory, especially after the encounter with his mom. Buzz, buzz. The iPhone in my lap vibrates. The green banner across the screen reads, "Matt, text message." I slide my finger across the screen and open the message. "Dinner tomorrow night?" A smile spreads across my face. I try to force it down, but it only grows. Thank you.
That was A Blind Duck, written and read by Jessica Zurawicki. Even good relationships have difficult moments. In tonight's second story, Jessica focuses in on an emotionally charged scene between two young lovers. Let's listen now as Jessica Zurawicki reads her story, Parking Lot 8.
Parking Lot 8 by Jessica Zurawicki. Babe, it's okay. You don't have to come tonight. I don't want you to stress yourself, Matt says. You just don't want me to meet your friends, I blurt out. We sit in my car in the middle of UTM parking lot 8, across from the gym. A silver truck sits to the left and a row of cars to the right. Small lights hang from the concrete ceiling and brighten the dark corners of the lower level. Only our words and the hum of the engine disturb the tranquility of the parking lot. My LSAT course started at 8 this morning. It covered logic reasoning, logic games, and reading comprehension. A 3-hour practice test followed. By the last section of the test, I had given up. My brain hurt, and the realization I wasn't cut out for law school began to set in. I caught the subway at 4 and headed from downtown Toronto to the Mississauga campus for orientation leader training at 5. On the way, I used the solution manual to mark my practice test. I failed. Training, a total waste of time. Seminars about equity and conflict of interest. With a double shift and 4 hours of sleep, I struggled to focus. My unwritten history essay and unfinished statistics formula sheet for Monday's test plagued my mind. The dashboard's neon green digital clock flickers. 10 p.m. My head throbs, temple pounding against my skull. My eyes strain to stay open. I unlatch the glove compartment, reach in, and feel for a bottle of Advil, Tylenol, anything. Nothing. You had a long day, and I can tell you're tired. I promise we can do something with them next weekend, or whenever works better for you, Matt says with a soft smile, revealing his left cheek dimple. Whatever. I grasp the steering wheel with both hands, knuckles white. The car in park, I snap my head to the left, jaw clenched. A warm touch. Matt slowly rubs my back, and I move my body just far enough away so he can't reach. Relax, he says. Everything is going to be fine. How can you say that? I'm exhausted from working and studying, and when I finally get to meet your friends, you're telling me you don't even want me there. Of course I want you there. I just don't want to push you. Just leave. What? Go. But go. I point my right index finger to the passenger door. He pries the door open slowly and looks at me. I see the uncertainty in his eyes. A hollow thud echoes through the car as the door closes behind him. I stare at Matt as he walks towards the path leading to the gym, my brow furrowed and eyes focused. He turns his head back to look at me before fading out of sight. I turn toward the steering wheel and gaze straight out the windshield. 2 quick, shallow breaths through my nose. My jaw loosens. My chin quivers. Tears stream down my face. I bow my head and rest it against the top of the steering wheel. My door swings open. Matt stands tall. He bends down to the level of my seat and whispers, "Shh." I turn to face him, cheeks flushed, nose running, and eyes puffy. I sniffle. My body trembles as I sob, trying to catch my breath. Matt gently wipes the tears from my eyes and places his hands on the sides of my face. His hands run down the back of my neck to my midsection, and he pulls me in. I sigh. He gives me a warm hug, arms wrapped around me. My chin rests on his shoulder. "Sorry," I whisper. He stays silent. He strokes my head with his hand and tucks a loose strand of hair behind my ear. His muscular arms give me a tight squeeze, then loosen and rest around my waist. A small tear drops, lands on the back of his faded blue t-shirt, and spreads through the fabric.
That was Parking Lot 8, written and read by Jessica Zurawicki. This concludes Life Rattle number 1305. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Jessica reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next week for a Life Rattle Classic program hosted by Virginia Ashbury.